Squawk, where we explore cybersecurity. Guiding you through online threats, we'll aid you in understanding safety protocols and trends. Meet our gurus, Brian from ExactIT, Reginald from ArcSolvers, and Randy from TechRescue. Together, we'll delve into current events and hot cybersecurity topics, helping you comprehend their impact. Stay informed, stay secure. Security Squawk, the business of cybersecurity. Buckle up, let's dive in.
All right, here we go. Welcome to another edition of the Security Squawk podcast. How are you guys? What's new?
Good to see you.
Me too. What's up, Ange?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm still under the weather. Last week I was had a cold and it came right back. The boomerang.
The boomerang. I had it. I know all about it. We talked about it earlier. So it's brutal. So speedy recovery there, bud. You'll get through it, but I know it sucks. So Andre might be a little quiet on the show today. And as normal, Randy and I will dominate the conversation. So on the docket, gentlemen, we've decided to dive into the exploitation of the CISA systems. We're going to take a little bit more of a deeper dive on why that is so concerning for the three of us. We have another mortgage company known as Nations Direct, who's been the victim of a cyber attack. We're also going to discuss some of the cybersecurity threats that revolve around the water systems across the United States. We have another Lockbit victim that we're going to discuss, hit with ransomware in the pharmaceutical industry. And then we're going to wrap up the show with a discussion around a talking point that we found that we thought was interesting. And we're going to kind of discuss our thoughts around why is there a perception out there that companies are investing in cybersecurity, but data breaches are on the rise. So that's the show for today. We'll get into the content here in a second, but remember, before we get into that, we do all this stuff. We put this show together to you or for you so you can get educated about the risks out there and maybe start doing something to protect yourself. I think you're going to be enlightened by our final topic, where we get into this discussion about what the heck private businesses and governments are actually doing to protect your data. And it's becoming clearer and clearer, at least to me, and I think to you guys as well, that cybersecurity is really going to be a personal protection thing in the very near future. Because if you don't take ownership in the protection of your data, don't expect governments and companies to do so, because I have years and years of evidence that back up what I'm saying. So we're going to educate you around all this stuff. Just remember to help us out, help other people find this content just like you. Share our show, comment where you can, rate us in the podcasting platforms if you listen to us instead of watching us on the social medias. Those are the ways that you can help us out, and we will continue to bring this information to you on a consistent basis to help educate you and keep you safe. All right, guys, let's jump into it. Anything anybody wants to add there? We're good on the sharing and the liking and the loving and the fee for the show.
The show is free, but free as in free beer.
You love the free beer.
Beer is still worth something. It's not free as in cheap. We do put a lot of effort into this, and we put a lot of time into prepping and getting information to you. And so we really would appreciate like, comment, subscribe, wherever it is that you are consuming your podcast content.
Thanks, Randy. So we're going to get right into it, guys. CISA, we talked about it last week on the show. We've learned some things since the last show. And we're going to talk about that for a little bit, because it should be very concerning based on what we know. Because words on a page are one thing, right? But when you really understand what the words on the page mean, which I think 99% of the population is going to have no idea what the words on the page mean, because they're not cyber experts. But we did, and it caught our eye, and we're like, whoa. Like, if there's one piece of information as a cyber criminal that I want to get my hands on, it's this. And what that thing is CISA, yes, they had their breach with their Avanti system, but we're now hearing that there was some pretty sensitive information on those Avanti systems that could potentially be a major national security threat for this country. Randy, do you want to kind of educate people, so I'm not dominating the show at the beginning here? Do you want to kind of educate people on like what is being reported that is being found on these Avanti servers and why the three of us are so concerned about it?
Yeah, because what they've announced or what we've heard is that two systems at least were taken offline. But like you said, reading between the lines, the two systems are the Infrastructure Protection Gateway, which that system houses the critical information about the interdependency of U.S. infrastructure. And what does that mean in like, you know, layman's terms, if you will? It's basically where they're defining how all of our technology works together. And, you know, it's something that an outsider, an attacker from another country, they wouldn't know, you know, intuitively, but to be able to get like a roadmap of where everything is, or to be able to get data that can give them a roadmap of how things work together, critical information. So that's server number one that was taken offline, which means it was one of the ones that was compromised. And then the other server is the Chemical Security Assessment Tool. And this houses all kinds of private sector information about chemical security plans. And it includes the Chemical Facility Anti-Terrorism Standards. It's an online portal. It has highly sensitive information that talks about which facilities are high risk. Like, this is kind of devastating, really. It's very information that a nation state could use against us in a really huge way.
Yeah, just having the names of those companies, what type of chemicals they have, really puts a big vulnerability to those companies as far as physical security, for some type of terrorist activity, for someone to break in. Now they know exactly what these warehouses are holding. So that's for me, the fact that none of this data, from what we can tell, is encrypted, is just like a big, like, wow. Like, here you have top, you know, not say top secret, but very important information. And there's, you know, it's just open plain text.
Right. And we really are, as Americans, kind of by default, we're really under, like, we don't really fully realize, we under realize how important this would be for a hacker on the other side, like we do. But I think your average American, you know, we just see our society and our culture and we're here and we know what it is. But an outsider that's attacking, or a nation state or whatever, they don't know all that inherently. And then to be able to just, boom, have it all in one place is pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, you guys did a great job of kind of laying out like why this is a big deal. When you're talking about having these risk assessments,
yeah,
at the end of the day, they tell you what your vulnerabilities are. A hacker could have a field day with that. That's like, that's like giving somebody a cheat code in a video game at the end of the day, right? And it's scary because CISA does, like, and I explained this on my YouTube channel where I said, like, CISA doesn't just do risk assessments on, like, pizza shops and, like, every little small business in the world. They don't have an unlimited amount of resources to do these risk assessments for businesses. So they pick and choose the ones that they feel like either pose a national security threat if they were breached, or they're just so big that, you know, they're willing to help, or there's something sensitive there or something along those lines. So it's even more concerning to me because of I just know who CISA will do a risk assessment for and who they won't. And these are pretty, you know, pretty big targets or pretty sensitive targets that purportedly some nation states now have their hands on, because I'm hearing it wasn't just China who was behind this.
Wow.
So anything else we want to add on that, guys? And I don't know, does anybody want to kind of chime in on, like, I don't know, how a company can protect themselves if they find out that, like, if you're a company and you know CISA came in and ran a network assessment on you, right?
You would probably want to make sure that you've put into place their recommendations and that you're not just sitting on them. That's a great point. And I was just thinking, so we did an assessment on an organization. We actually presented just yesterday the results of this assessment. And you were talking about if that fell into the wrong hands, you're totally right. Because, you know, we went in with a big interview and kind of got the lay of the land. And, you know, we did some, you know, pen testing. We did some, you know, some fish testing and schmish testing of the people in the organization. And, you know, we laid out what we did in that risk assessment. We laid out what we found out. You're right. That would be devastating. And if to go off what you're saying, if I was a company, I had that risk assessment done, I would make darn sure that we've already put into place the recommendations that they said, and that we're not wasting a second to do that. Because, you know, let's say this was a nation state, these things will be used in a, you know, geopolitical chess game, if you will. If this is a criminal organization and possibly nation state, you know, a lot of this stuff's going to be sold to the highest bidder and other people that are going to take, you know, they're going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and definitely train your staff. If they are dealing with CISA as far as email communication, make sure that they are aware of this, because the last thing we want is for them to fall for a phishing email thinking that they're getting results back or recommendations or follow-ups, and then they're actually talking to the bad guy. Mm-hmm.
But you could, I mean, at the end of the day, guys, I mean, like, if I know you have a specific vulnerability inside of your network, you could just, you know, what you're potentially doing here is making it super easy for a hacker to target you with the right malware, right? So if I know you have a specific vulnerability, I'm going to flood you with phishing emails that have a specific malware attached to it that's going to help me exploit what I know you already have in your network. Right. It's bad news all around. So not only do we have private businesses impacted by this, but we also have, you know, the chemical sector. Apparently one of the servers was specifically for them too, which is, you know, I don't know who's in that data set. You know what I mean? Company-wise. Because there's a lot of companies out there that make chemicals. Anything else? Move on. Ready?
Yep.
All right, cool. So next one on the docket, boys, is the nation's direct mortgage data breach. Here we go with another mortgage company. We've talked about extensively on the channel that you have massive amounts of information that are provided when you're applying for a mortgage. It's like the smorgasbord of PII, or personally identifiable information. And it makes a lot of sense why cyber criminals have really turned the spotlight on this industry in the last 6 months. They're kind of falling like dominoes in that industry, in my opinion. But it's like a breach every 2 weeks with a major mortgage company. And here we go. I mean, not as big as the last ones, but 83,000 customers were impacted by a cyber attack on Nation's Direct Mortgage, highlighting the susceptibility of the financial sector to sophisticated cyber threats and the importance of protecting personal information. So I'm just going to go right to Andre with this one. You think it's really 83,000?
Nope, that's preliminary. That's what they're saying now. They'll make the news headlines, and then they're going to, well, they did have to put in a, they did have to disclose this.
An SEC. Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if they want to play around with that, but I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of months from now, they make an adjustment.
I think like knowing that regulation, it's more important that you meet the reporting deadline. You can always revise as new information comes about.
Right.
Which will probably happen.
Yep.
Randy?
Couple things here. One is there's also in the news here that multiple law firms are reaching out for victims to get a potential class action suit going together, getting that together and getting it rolling. This is kind of the new, this account sounds a little derogatory, but it's kind of the new cyber ambulance chaser, if you will. These kind of things happen. They have to get released to they have to get reported to the federal agencies. That's public knowledge. And you got law firms coming along beside them and, trying to find victims and getting together a class action lawsuit. I think that's the ambulance chaser of 2024 for sure. And going forward, that's a big thing. We're going to see a lot of that.
Right. Basically, lawyers working for free on your behalf to get paid. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how companies are going to defend the onslaught of these lawsuits that are coming.
Right.
Like once you become a victim.
Right.
I mean, one of two things is going to happen. Companies are going to start going out of business, or insurance companies are going to start going out of business. That's my
opinion. Well, the latter, the insurance mm-hmm. companies have huge, groups of people up lobbying on Capitol Hill and state capitals and all that. So I'm sure before they went out of business, they would get some kind of tort reform passed, if you will, mm-hmm. To protect them from liability. So, because they've got the means to do so, and any businesses would protect themselves if they saw an end coming and legal. Something legal could help with that. So who knows?
All right. Any more thoughts on this? Good luck to the mortgage industry on getting back on their feet, so to speak, and trying to get this figured out.
So
go ahead.
I'd add one quick thing I just thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-oh.
I might have lost you there for a second. So I'm just thinking this data in the hands of the criminals can be used if you're a customer of this company, they could literally use that data for a targeted phishing campaign where they even said, hey, we've got a new portal, go here to pay or this or that. Like we're going to, if you're involved with this mortgage company, you're going to have to really be on guard. Mm-hmm. Because that data is gold in the hands of the criminals.
Oh yeah, that's definitely going to be one thing that comes out of it. This sounds like some kind of a cyber attack where a breach happened, but we've seen it where cyber attacks can lead to mortgage companies not being able to accept payments, which then triggers off a whole bunch of things, in terms of like potential foreclosures and stuff like that, because these systems are kind of automated at this point. And what I've learned talking to people who have been victims of these other mortgage company cyber attacks is that like these systems don't really have anything to account for like a cyber attack and somebody not paying their mortgage because this mortgage company system is down. Right. And we hear from people all the time who are like, I'm like being threatened to go in foreclosure because I couldn't make my payment because the system wasn't available because of a cyber attack. Right. So it creates a huge public relations problem, and companies lose a lot of trust when these types of things happen. And I think more and more of society is starting to talk about this stuff, you know, and it's starting to come to light that these cyber attacks are causing major headaches for a lot of individuals out there. All right, guys, water system cybersecurity threat, the White House and EPA's warnings about cyber attacks on the U.S. water sector's critical infrastructure underline the broad scope of cyber attacks against essential public utilities and the urgent need for enhanced cybersecurity measures. Now, this is something we've been hearing about for quite a while. I would say maybe probably since maybe November, December, where this is really become a big issue for the government, where they're putting out a extraordinary number of alerts around water systems and threats specifically from China. So Randy, why don't you take us down the road here and let us know, like, why is this continuing to be a concern? And why, I don't know if you can answer this, but kind of like my thing is like, why does it seem like we're not doing anything about it? We're just telling everybody that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I say, first off, when you were introducing this this article, something that you always say is if CISA releases a bulletin about it, you know it's a big deal. And they're not just up there playing around, just throwing out all random things. So we are in the middle of a political cyber war, if you will, potentially maybe focused around Ukraine. I don't want to get into all that, you know, a whole lot, but that's going on. And there are tensions from both sides. And we've seen, you know, this was going on before Ukraine, but we saw things go up exponentially after Ukraine got started, the hot war there on the ground. And so these kind of things are happening because this is, imagine if you were an adversary of another country, to be able to get into their water systems, to be able to control that, you know, even if it never breaks out into a hot war, you can, the damage you can do morally, economically, so societally, the damage you can do is huge. So these are important national assets. And the crazy thing is, in my state, in Texas, most of the water outside of the big cities is controlled by, it's a special kind of private corporation. And we've presented to some of these, and they didn't want to spend that kind of money. They didn't want to spend the kind of money they needed to spend to get cyber secure.
Cool. And, that'll lead into our last topic of the day for sure. So let's hold off on that thought. Andre, any thoughts?
Yeah, two things. So to answer your question, the reason why they're just telling these water districts to be careful and to up their cyber game is because they have no like authority in the sense of like, you have to do this. They don't control their systems in that aspect. So that's why they just can give those bulletins. And then the second thing that was interesting in this article was that CISA offers free security scans for public water utilities. So go ahead, all you water utilities, go ahead and run that scan and let's see how that shows up in the news in a couple of years.
Right, because exactly what you just talked about, right? It's all related, right? CISA runs free scans for water utilities, and we just talked about those systems getting hacked and all that information being stolen by a foreign government. We haven't heard the last of any of this, guys, and it's it's getting, unfortunately, we don't work at this level. Like, we protect businesses, right? This could have major impacts down the road, unfortunately.
Chemical water, you know, we talked about a Colonial Pipeline a couple of years ago. Man.
Colonial Pipeline was like nursery school compared to what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's just keep moving it along because we got about 5 minutes and we got that last topic that's probably worth spending a little bit of time on. So quickly, it looks like we have a Lockbit is cheering because now they're multimillionaires yet again. same group that got the 22 million, right? From Change, right? Am I right? Mm-hmm. I get them so confused. They all merge together. I can't keep track of the money. The ransomware attacks on Crinetics Pharmaceuticals by the Lockbit gang, demanding a $4 million ransom, exemplifies the persistent danger posed to healthcare and pharmaceutical industries, despite law enforcement's efforts to disrupt the cyber criminal networks, as we've already discussed. So another healthcare-related company goes down by Lockbit. Lockbit clearly has an agenda to go after that industry. Thoughts here, guys?
I guess something that really hit me, and I have not heard this quote before or this goal, but the leader of Lockbit goes by the handle Lockbit Sup, and he says that he has a goal of attacking 1 million companies around the world. And then the day he reaches 1 million businesses on his blog that he's posting, he's going to retire. So, you know, that was his response after he got shut down, you know, taken down or whatever. And so that's really what's fueling his, according to this, that's what's fueling his, you know, ransomware as a service and all that jazz, because that allows him to take part in more, you know, more of these takedowns.
Wow, you taught me something today. I had no idea that happened. Thank you.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, that was one of my things. It's like, wait, how much is too, like, at what point do you have that much money where you can just say, you know what, I got my 50 million, I'm going to retire some island secluded, nobody's ever going to catch me. But now this just shows their real motivation. Yeah, it's money, but it's not really the money.
It's competition. Right.
Yep.
It's competition.
It's the no.
Because I'm just going to say this, the minute you said that, Randy, uh-huh, my mind immediately went to somebody on the cyber defense side who has a goal to protect a million people from cyber criminals.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you have it. Cat and mouse game.
So I wonder if these two are going to like UFC it up one day. The cyber defender versus the cyber criminal. Just have them beat the crap out of each other in the octagon.
Yeah, kind of like the YouTuber that became a boxer. Maybe they'll both become real boxers.
Logan Paul or whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Cool. Fun show so far. Let's get into the last topic. Rising data breaches despite increased cybersecurity investments. That's the last topic of today's show. And seems like with global cybersecurity spending reaching new heights, I don't know, that's debatable in my mind, the paradox of rising data breaches is explored. The discussion includes insights on evolving ransomware tactics and the challenges in staying ahead of cyber criminals' continuously advancing strategies, as we just talked about. And we have a guy who's basically made it his life's mission to attack a million companies. So you don't think he's going to be continuously advancing his strategies? Mm-hmm. He's told you he will. And he's very successful at what he does. So I got no doubt. Like, if you're asking me, like, if Vegas had a line on whether the cyber criminal or the cyber defender is going to win in this situation, I'm going with the cyber criminal.
Yikes.
So what are your thoughts on this? Because I have thoughts on companies spending more on cybersecurity and what's actually happening when the rubber meets the road. What's your perspective?
I mean, the key word you said there is evolve. You know, you can spend a lot of money on something that was great 2 years ago, but as your system and technology has evolved, then there's vulnerabilities there. I got some toilet paper in my hand, probably the same type of toilet tissue that's been around for a few years now, but with technology, it's evolving.
Yeah, and you know, the tagline question is, if companies are so focused on cybersecurity, why are data breaches still rising? I mean, one, I would ask a question to respond to this. Are they really? are they really spending the money? Because that's really what it boils down to. You've got to spend the money to be cyber secure. Some businesses are, some businesses aren't. In fact, I'm still running into companies all the time that aren't. And I don't know, I run into maybe one out of 100 that is. And, you know, I know we deal with a different space. We're in that small to medium sized business space. But, you know, so the game is going to constantly change. That's the other thing. There's never a mountaintop that we're going to arrive. We're going to climb up, claw our way to the top and go, hey, we've arrived. We finally beat the cyber attackers. It's more of you claw your way up to the top and you realize you're at the top of a mountain. There's a giant valley and another bigger mountain that you got to start heading up right afterwards. So, you know, this may kind of also be kind of a false pretense question. Like we never really might ever get to that place, but we have to constantly move, because if you're not evolving, then you're the lowest hanging fruit, and you don't want to be the lowest hanging fruit, because those are the people that are going to get ripped off for sure.
Well, here's some of the stuff that we're seeing that I feel like are contributing to these numbers and why the perception could be that companies are spending more, but it doesn't seem to be doing much in terms of stopping cyber attacks. And I think there's a big, I think a lot of companies are going to fall into what I'm about to say, which is I think companies go out there, they invest in a tool, right? And there's some companies that invest in hiring companies like ours that can help them soup to nuts. Well, investing in one tool, I can tell you, is not enough. But if you hire a company and experts and you bring them in, and here's the big problem. What we see increasing in our business is companies hire us to come in and we will give them the information. We will show them how they're vulnerable, where they're vulnerable. And we'll say, you kind of have to stop doing or change what you're doing here because it's introducing risk or increasing your risk in your business. And sometimes companies are unwilling to change their business or change their business processes or do something a little bit differently. And I'm not talking about like major stuff here, folks. I'm talking about little things that put your data at risk, that if they just gave up doing it that way and did it a more secure way, your data would be more protected and you would see less data breaches and less cyber attacks out there. Companies are choosing to accept the risk without really understanding what the repercussions of that risk are, even though they're being told by professionals like us.
Mm-hmm.
Which requires us to do things that we don't want to be doing in our business, which is present our paying clients with legal documents that say, we've given you this information and now you can't hold me harm. You can't sue me. You can't come after me if something bad happens because you've chosen to go down this path and we've advised you to not go down that path. And I think that is a major, major issue as to why companies appear to be spending more, but are still dealing with cyber attacks because they're spending more. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, is just getting an expert in there who can advise them. Now you're saying, okay, you can't do that. I'll give you a specific example of what I am talking about. We have an accounting firm, and you know that scan to email feature that every all-in-one copier is probably equipped with?
Yep.
Well, they wanted to have that feature enabled, and we said, we highly recommend that you don't have that feature enabled, and here's why. Because that email that's sent over the internet is not encrypted. And you run the risk of an employee walking over with, say, somebody's tax return and scanning it in and going to their email. Well, it doesn't go directly from that scanner to their inbox on their computer. It travels through the internet, unencrypted. And anywhere along the way from going from that copier out to the internet, back to your computer so you can have it to your inbox, there are many places that that email travels where a cyber criminal could intercept that. And if you don't take the advice of your cyber experts who say it's a really bad idea and it's really against the compliance that you have to use that feature, and you are like, no, we need to be able to do that, and you don't, and your ego takes over and you don't want to listen to the experts who are telling you this is a bad idea, then you're going to be spending money on expert advice to help your company not have to deal with a cyber attack. And you're basically pissing that money down the drain because you're not taking the advice of the experts who are trying to protect you. So yeah, you have to sign an acceptance of risk, because the way that the ambulance chasers, as Randy so rightfully mentioned earlier, are going about this is that they're naming everybody and their mother in these lawsuits when they go after companies for data breaches. And we know this, and we have to protect ourselves from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. Anything else you guys want to add to my little rant there?
No, we're good, man. We're
closing. So I think acceptance of risk should be outlawed. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. I mean, and I wonder, is there a way for us on our side of the fence, whatever you want to call it, as cybersecurity experts, is there a way for us to maybe rephrase this? Because y'all know I'm preaching the choir here, but cybersecurity 101, point two is basically business comes first. Because if you don't have the business, you can't pay for the cybersecurity. And what I try to do, and maybe there's a way to do that here, what I try to do is communicate that in a way that puts the business first and that puts the efficiency first. And maybe there's a way to couch it, say, hey, it's more efficient to do it this way. It's not just, us being nerds and saying y'all need to do things that just impede your doing your business. That's a whole nother show to talk about, probably. So some things you can't get around, like sending through an unencrypted SMTP server from your copier or whatever. So, but.
All right, guys, I know we got to run. I appreciate your input. We'll see everyone next week. Please remember, share the show. Take care.
Right, bye, everybody.
Bye.